So we are in Taher Libeinu series, part two, as week two of the Shovavim. This topic is called Avoiding the Battle. And in the topic of Shovavim, there are really three stages in the battle. The first stage is preventing the issue from beginning. It's avoiding the conflict, not getting into the conflict from the beginning. That's stage number one. Stage number two is if a person did not avoid the conflict and they got into the battle, then it's having the tools of how to win when faced with a challenge. And point number three is if Chas v'Shalom a person failed, then not allowing a sense of hopelessness and despair to overcome them looking back on what they did. That's going to be the next 3 weeks. This week we're going to discuss about not getting into the battle to begin with. The following week we're going to discuss, following three weeks, we're going to discuss about tools of how to win when one is in a challenge. And then the week after, 2 weeks after that, we'll speak about how to view oneself in light of failure. So, the first topic is, and this is, we're going to see a mitzvah from the Torah, this concept, as we're going to see in the Psukim in a minute. But the goal is not to get into a challenge, and then once you're in the challenge, then fight. But the goal is to fight and ensure that you don't get into the challenge to begin with. Because, and let's explain the concept a little more deeply why. If one already gets to stage two, if a person already gets to a stage where they're in the conflict and they're in the battle, then there's a struggle. And once there's a struggle, then even if they win, there's a bitter taste that leaves as a result. Because this is what essentially happens. A person gets into a struggle, and then he fights. Now what's the fight? The fight is almost an external voice saying to him, you shouldn't do this, and him saying, but I want to do it. That's what happens when a person gets into the fight. Without getting into why that's the case, but that's what usually happens. The external ethical voice comes and says, externally, you shouldn't be doing this. And then he pushes and pushes and pushes, then he wins. And then the external voice says, fine, very well, this time you won and you held back from sin, you did what God commanded, but let's be honest, what you really wanted to do, like what the voice of the I was saying, was, I want to do this. So, okay, you won this time, you know, but like how many times can you push back against what you really want to do? So, once a person gets into the battle, then even if they win, and Be'ezrat Hashem will teach guidelines of how to win, it's still a rosh tus that came over them. And the victory doesn't even taste as sweet as it could, because it's a struggle, it's a pressure, it's a restraint. It's like lahavdil. It's like, well, not lahavdil. Lamashal. It's like walking through a smoking area. That even if the person didn't smoke, but the very fact they walked through that area, there is a lingering smell that sticks with them. So if a person wins the victory and doesn't fail to look at something inappropriate or to act in an inappropriate way on these matters, the very fact that they were in that struggle, that still to some degree they were aligned with wanting to do that, it does awaken a desire to do bad, which they have to push away from. But it ends up feeling, that's really what I wanted to do. So our goal here is not to invest thought in the conflict, but rather to build an awareness that I can avoid getting into the battle to begin with. Now this is especially true, it's true in yeshiva, it's true all the time, but it's especially true when a person is by themselves. So if it's like a long bidud, or if it's a ben azmanim, where there isn't like a clear structure, a person has to learn how to be proactive and have very clear go-to activities that they're involved in all the time, so they won't have to have head-on collision with the Yetzirah. Like, if you give like a mashal for it, if you have a ship which is sailing, let's call it the Titanic, right? And there's an iceberg coming up. So the goal isn't to show how close can I get to that iceberg and not hit it. No, the goal is to steer far, far away from the iceberg to begin with, and not get into that challenge to begin with. That's our goal. The story of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, no one would give him Musa, because he was the Vilna Gaon, right? So he wanted Musa though. So he called the Maggid of Dubno to come to him and to give him words of Musa. And the Maggid of Dubno came, eventually he had to be coaxed into it, but eventually he came, and then he hit the Gra with the following statement. He said to him, what's the kuntz that you have to sit in your Darat Amas of Halacha? Let's see you go out and be challenged with the Yetzirah that's on the street and see if you're so holy. So he said to the girl. And the girl replied and said, that's not Musa. Who says you have to look for kunsim? Why do I have to go and put myself in a challenge? That's not our goal. Our goal isn't to be challenged and to prove. In fact, the quantum of destiny, that was the sin of Adam HaRishon. That they wanted to prove that they could get into a challenging situation where they have a fight between good and bad by entering bad within them and then choose God. And Hashem said, that's the sin. The sin is that you put yourself in a challenge. The goal was to remain in a place where you weren't being challenged, to avoid the challenge. And therefore, Chazal gave us many halachas, which the goal of the halacha is not to get into the challenge to begin with. The whole area of yichud, the whole concept of yichud, is an area of halacha which is saying to you, don't get into the challenge. Avoid the challenge to begin with. It's not a goal that you win the battle. The goal is that you bypass the battle. The goal is that you remain with the thoughts of I'm pure by not having to be in the challenge to begin with. Just to give another mashal for this, who has a more exciting role in life? As someone who drives an ambulance or someone who's a safety inspector? The ambulance driver is much more exciting. Right? But if you've got to that stage, there's already a problem that's happened. A safety inspector is much less exciting. He just goes and checks if something's wrong. He says, please fix it. It's less exciting. But we'd all rather he succeed in his job, even though it's boring and kind of more straightforward, than you have the ambulance driver who's got the high-risk job, but then there's already someone who's been wounded and you're not looking for that. I want to quote a series of sources which all speak from a Torah perspective about the ideal of avoiding a battle to begin with and not getting to the battle, and give guidelines on how to do that. The first source is actually a very interesting stira between a Gemara in Baba Basra and a Gemara which I'm sure many people here have learned in Psachim on Daf Kafe. The Gemara in Baba Basra, actually, before I do that, I'll start with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Kaf, this is just the source that it's a Torah mitzvah from the Torah. The Torah says, "V'nishmarta mikol davara," you must guard yourself from anything bad. And the Gemara learns out there, "Shelo yaharher adam beyom v'yavodei tuma belayla." A person has the obligation to not think inappropriate thoughts throughout the day, which could then lead to them having a seminal emission at night, which could be, it's considered their fault if it came through their thinking about inappropriate thoughts, if they activated thoughts. Now the Tosfos there on that daf, Tosfos Avodah Zarah daf Kaf Amud Beis, says, do not think that this is an asmachta. It is not an asmachta. It's a drasha gemura, meaning this is the pshat in the pasuk that nishmarta mikol devara is actually referring to, not as an asmachta, but as a drasha, is actually referring to not thinking inappropriate thoughts. Then Tosfos is bothered because there's a praise that Yechezkel gives himself, which is that he didn't think appropriate thoughts in the day and they come to bad things at night. And it's a praise. It's like, wow, I reached the level. But why is it, wow, I reached the level, if it's a mitzvah d'oraisa? Nishmarta mikol devara, it's something which is expected from everybody. Tosfos says a very, very important chiluk which is relevant to us. There's a level which is not expected from us. A level which is above us. And that's what Yechezkel was saying, I'm thankful that I was on that level. And then there's a level which is relevant to all of us. The level that was relevant to Yechezkel was, he didn't even have thoughts passing by him. A thought didn't even occur to him. He didn't have thoughts in the day. What he was referring to was, even a passing thought that he didn't invite didn't happen to him. And that's amazing. That's something which is supernatural. That's something which Yechezkel reached a level where he'd purified his mind to a degree where even passing thoughts didn't get to him. That's not expected from us. It's normal and expected that inappropriate thoughts of Arias will come to a person during the day. Now the question is, what do you do when they've come to you? You're not held accountable at any degree for a thought that pops into your mind that you did not invite. That's not your fault. You're not held accountable for it. However, what do you do when that thought comes? If a person then ponders it, contemplates it, involves themselves in it, that's what the pasuk of Nishmarta Mikol Devara is referring to. So, mitzvahs ase mida oraisa. V'nishmarta mikol devara, you have to be very careful, means that if a thought pops into your mind, which is orias orientated, you didn't invite it, you're not held accountable for it, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to not invest yourself in that thought. To accompany your mind with other things. To get involved in other things. Don't invest in that thought, don't allow that thought to develop and fester within yourself. That's a mitzvah ase d'oraisa. V'nishmarta mikol devara. And the Gemara in Baba Basra says, you have the mitzvah to close your eyes. What is it referring to? Baba Basra Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. This is says Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava. It's referring to that you shouldn't look at women when they're doing their washing. When women do their washing, they stand in a way that's inappropriate for a man to look at, and you shouldn't do that. Says the Gemara, I don't understand what it's referring to. Where do you have the obligation to close your eyes? If it's referring to there was no other way that you could go, There's no other way you could go, and you went on that way, then, listen to this carefully, even if you didn't look, a person who went on that way, and even is called a Rasha. It's called a Rasha. Meaning, if you are in a situation, this is very relevant to us, where you don't have to go on a certain path where you're exposed to things, and you choose to go on that path, the Gemara calls that person a Rasha. That's very, very harsh. And that's referring to someone who won the battle. They won the battle. They didn't look. But they lost the battle of putting themselves in a situation where they were tempted. And therefore they're called a Rasha for allowing themselves to be in a situation where they would be exposed, even if they then didn't look. It's called a Rasha. So the Gemara says, so what's it referring to? If it's referring to you had no other way to go, there was no other way you could go, then you're allowed to go there. So then what's the problem? So the Gemara says, yes, you're allowed to go there, but you still have to close your eyes. You're allowed to go. If there's no other way for you to go, you're allowed to go, but you still have to close your eyes. The Chofetz Chaim has a commentary on the Chofetz Chaim, meaning he has an extended footnote, called the Be'er Mayim Chaim, and in Hilchos Lashon Hara. And he brings a stira between this Gemara and the Gemara in Pesachim. We've learned the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Kafei, which speaks about, it's talking there about smelling the sense of Avodah Zorah, getting benefit from Chometz, and also smelling from Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara speaks about four different options. If you had another option, and you chose to benefit, if you didn't have another option, you didn't choose to benefit, there's four different options there. So one option the Gemara speaks about there is, Efshar v'lo mechaven. And the Psak of the Gemara there, like Rabbi Shimon, is that Efshar v'lo mechaven shari. Which means, that if you have another path to take, next, there's a church where they burn incense, and it's for Avodah Zorah. And there's two paths you can take. You can either walk that way or the other way. And you choose to walk next to the church, but you have intention not to smell the Avodah Zorah. You don't want to get benefit from it. That's allowed. You're allowed to do that, which contradicts the Gemara we just read in Baba Basra. Gemara Baba Basra said, if you chose to go on a path that will tempt you, even if you win, it's a loss, a rasha. But here it says, you're allowed to walk on a path, even if there's another path, so long as you intend not to go. And the Chofetz Chaim said he didn't find an answer to this question. It's a stira in the Gemaras. It's a stira in the two Gemaras. He didn't find an answer. So this is what he concludes. And he says, Iyanti harbe bahai kushya. Venirili, and it appears to me, I didn't find an answer anywhere else, but this is my thought, Chofetz Chaim's way of answering it. The svarata Gemara, the halacha is, you're allowed to take a path where you may be tempted, so long as you're strong, and you know you won't look. You won't smell. That's allowed. Chamet, you're allowed. Arias is a different world. Arias, you're not in control. Arias, the desire of a man is so strong that it's a rasha for a person to put himself in a situation where he may be tempted, even if he wins. And even if he doesn't look, and that's a din in Arias. It's not true by other areas. It's specifically in Arias. Because since Arias is so tempting for a man, there is no guarantee that he can say to himself, I won't get pleasure. I know I'll go and I won't get pleasure. There's no guarantee. If a person goes, he probably will want to get pleasure. It's out of a man's control almost. A person could go and he doesn't have control over that. So says the Chofetz Chaim, that's how you resolve the Gemara. Specifically in the area of Arias, it is forbidden for a person to be in a place where he's tempted. So I ask you, if a person has a phone without a filter, and he never looks at it, how would the Gemara call him? Meaning the very fact that he set himself up in a way where he could see things that are inappropriate, and there is a challenge there, but he wins the challenge, how does the Gemara refer to him? The Gemara refers to him as a Rasha. And that's someone who never looked, but just the fact that it's accessible, the fact that he's able to. And similarly, if something pops up on the phone, which he knows that if he presses that, he doesn't know where it's going to go. Could go to something appropriate, it could go to something inappropriate. It's forbidden to press on it. It's setting oneself up for a challenge, which the Gemara is harsh about. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says that Yosef was in that same challenge. And he was willing to set himself up to incriminate himself and cause himself to go to prison, not to have this fight. Because what does the Gemara say? What does the Torah say? It says, V'azov bigdo biada. He left. So Yosef was being tempted by Eshet Potiphar, and she grabbed his cloak, and he left it in her hand. And the Ramban asks, why didn't he just grab it back? And then the whole story wouldn't have taken place. She would have said he came, he would say, I didn't come, there's no evidence, finished. The case may have been over, maybe. But he left his coat in her hand, meaning leaving her the evidence. So that's the Ramban's question. And the way the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz answers it, is he says that he knew that if he goes back for 1 second to stay with her for 1 second and start fighting about grabbing it, even though he's stronger, and even though he'll be able to pull it away, he's setting himself up for a battle where he's turning towards her one more time. Turning towards her one more time, being in the conflict for a moment. Our goal as a Jew is to avoid the conflict, not to allow ourselves to get to the place where there's a battle. Yosef was willing to incriminate himself, not to be one more moment where he has to turn towards her. And she'll say, ah, you want to come back? And he'll say, no, I don't. I just grabbed my coat. So you were, he didn't even want that. Not for a moment. He was willing to let it remain in her hand so that he wouldn't be in a case where he's challenged. That's one story that the Chaim Shmulevitz writes. Another one is even more powerful. The Gemara tells a terrible story of the Jews in the Dor Deah, when they were in the desert, and the method that the Midianite women tempted them to sin in Arias. They would set up a store, and they would start debating with them, and they would offer them wine. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kufvav says that at that time, Yayin Akum, the wine of non-Jews, wasn't yet forbidden. So therefore the Jews came and they drank wine with the Midianite woman, and eventually she, through Arias, tempted him, and then that eventually led to Avodah Zarah. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, do you hear what the Gemara is saying? The Gemara is saying that if there already would have been a takana, if it already would have been in place of you're not allowed to drink wine with a non-Jew, they wouldn't have sinned. Meaning, the goal is to avoid the battle. And the rabbis put boundaries, guidelines in line for us not to get to the fight. We don't have a goal of being a macho and showing that we can win the fight when it comes to Arias. When it comes to Arias, we almost see ourselves as failing from the beginning. Later on, we'll say different things when we get to the point when a person's failed. But when we're ahead of time, and we still are outside the battle, we look at it as if we go in there, there's no hope for us. And therefore, we have to, in all cases, at all costs, avoid the battle. And therefore, Chachamim made a gezeira. And they said, you're not allowed to drink wine with a non-Jew. And look what happened when they didn't have that gezeira intact. The Dor Deah, the people who were in the generation where they heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, almost immediately sinned once they were tempted with the battle. Our goal is to avoid the battle, not to get close to it. David HaMelech sinned in the same area. David HaMelech said to Hashem, why is it that we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and we don't say Elokei David? He saw himself as the fourth leg of the chariot, whatever that spiritual concept means. But he recognized, and maybe in the future it will be, but he saw himself as a conduit through which Am Yisrael can connect to Hashem. But his name wasn't mentioned at that point in history yet as a path to connect to Hashem. And he's asking Hashem, why not? So Hashem said, because they were all tested and you weren't tested. And they passed the test. So David said, so test me. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Bochaneini Hashem v'niseini. Bochaneini v'niseini. So Hashem said, you're not supposed to ask for a test. Because if I give you a test, then I also give you the koach to withstand it. But if you bring a test upon yourself, there's no guarantee that you'll withstand it. And he said, test me anyway. And Hashem said, I'll test you, and I'll even tell you which area it's going to be in, but you won't pass. And David said, try me. And David then, Hashem said to him, it's going to be in the area of Arias. And David HaMelech then made a plan by which he would be satiated in the area of Arias so that he wouldn't come to sin. And the Gemara says, but he wasn't focused on the halacha that says that a man has an organ, the male organ, the manly side of man is that the more it's satiated, the more a person gives into that tiva, the more hungry he is. It's the opposite of food. Food is if you're very full, then you have no more desire to eat more. But with the area of Arias, if a person looks for more, then it creates more of a desire for even more. More like drugs. That the more a person gets addicted, the more he has a need to have more. David HaMelech, therefore, fell into the trap of the Yetzer Hara by thinking, oh, I'll satiate myself in this area, and then there won't be a problem, and then he fell right into the area. And David HaMelech, because he entered the battle, failed. Meaning what we're learning in this principle here is, we have to put all of our energy into ensuring that we don't enter the battle to begin with. And that's before the conflict has happened. Once the conflict happens, then even if we win, we failed. We'll come out wounded. And what we spoke about at the beginning is, what does it mean to come out wounded? We'll come out with a sense of, but I really want it. And then even if I win, it was like, okay, but maybe next time. Maybe how much can I keep it going? That's the sense of being wounded, if you've entered the battle. But if you don't enter the battle to begin with, if you put all your energy, then a person retains a sense of, I chose not to enter an impure place. I am pure. I haven't gone to an impure place. David HaMelech failed in that sense. He chose to go to an impure place. He asked to be tested. He wanted to prove that he could win. Hashem said, no, if you try and prove you win, you failed. Just by the fact you entered. And he actually failed. The Gemara continues in that same daf of David HaMelech, Sanhedrin, Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, and it says, that after he sinned, he asked Hashem not to write about it in Tanakh. V'nikiti mipesha rav, cleanse me of the great sin that I've done with Bat Sheva. Shelo yichtov sirchoni, please don't write in Tanakh the story. David HaMelech asked Hashem not to write it. Amar lo iefsha, Hashem said it's impossible. I have to write it. Because David, you are the example for all future generations. All future generations are going to look at you and say, you thought you could withstand a test, and you realized that in the area of Arias, we can't withstand the test. And we have to ensure that we avoid the test. We don't get into the battle. E.F. Shah said, Hashem, I can't not write it. I have to write it. Because the Tanakh is teaching us a lesson for all generations. That people have to know not to get into the test to begin with. That's the same message of Sota. That if a person sees a Sota, what does he see when he sees a Sota? He sees that she was defamed. He sees that she was embarrassed. He sees that she was punished. Why would he go and do that act again? Just the very fact that the thought came to his mind is enough that he's in the battle. And therefore he has to immediately become a Nazir and go to the other extreme and make sure that he doesn't even get close to doing anything that could lead to such a thing. Avoid the battle entirely. There's a pasuk which I feel really crystallizes this idea. And this is, you know, if I was going to make a bumper sticker about this topic, this is what I would bring in front of the bumper sticker. Koheles Perek Tet. Pasuk Tet Zayin. It says it in two different ways and both of them are essential. First it says, Tova Chochma Migvura. And then it says, Tova Chochma Miklei Karav. And they both express the same idea. Gvura and Klei Karav both express someone who's in the battle. But he's a warrior. He's a fighter. He's going to prove himself. Or alternatively, someone who has all the methods, all the plans. So you could imagine it as one of them is like a physical, well-built individual who's on the battlefield. And the second one is someone who's like at the computer with all the techniques and all the technology to be able to win the battle. But the very fact you're in war already is a problem. So comes along Shlomo Melech and says, Tova Chochma Migvura. It's better to be intelligent, to think of plans and strategies of how to avoid the battle to begin with. A really intelligent person is a person who doesn't get into the situation which you have to be intelligent to know how to get out of. Not to get into it to begin with. Tova Chochma Miklei Karav. It's better to be wise, to be a sage, and not get into that struggle to begin with. That's also what happened to the Jews when they left Egypt. Vahi b'shalach paro et ha'am v'lo nacham elokim derech erech pelishtim ki karofu ki amar elokim pein yanachem me'am brotam milchama v'shavu mitzrayim. Hashem was concerned that if he led them a certain path, then they may, it's too close, they may regret and go back. Mitzrayim was known as Ervat Ha'aretz, the place of Erva, the place of Arias, the place that Shovim we need to work on. So what does Rashi say? Ki karofu v'noach lashuv b'oto derech le'mitzrayim. Hashem said, I can't set them up in a way which will be easy for them to get back to. That's putting them to a test. And I have to avoid the test. I have to avoid the battle. I don't want to set them up in a situation where they're going to easily go back. So just to conclude with a couple of halachas, practical halacha, in order to ensure that, halachas that are built into the halachic system to ensure that we have a fence around the law. So one halacha we already mentioned was yichud. Yichud is a halacha which was designed by Chazal to ensure that we're not tested. Another halacha, this is from Evan Ezer, Perek Kaf Gimel. It speaks there about the prohibition of seminal emission. It says that a person is not allowed to, like we spoke about the Gemara earlier in Avodah Zarah, this is the halachic source for it. A person is not allowed to allow himself to develop thoughts during the day, which are inappropriate thoughts. Rather, if a person realizes that he's thinking inappropriate thoughts, he must immediately move over to learning Torah, to learning words of Torah. It's forbidden for a person to lie on his back or to lie on his stomach. That's a gedder around the halacha, because lying on the back of the stomach can arouse a person. Rather, a person should lie on his side. It's forbidden for a person to look at animals when they're having relations, unless they work in that field where it's their profession, where it's not going to cause them those types of thoughts. It's forbidden for a person to put his hand in his private area, unless he's doing it for the bathroom, and even there only for the sake of ensuring that it's accurate. And there were chassidim who would never look at their own bris milah in order to ensure that they wouldn't sin in this area. And the Shulchan Aruch uses a very unusual language. Tzarich adam litrachek minashim me'od me'od. He doesn't usually say me'od me'od. Halacha is halacha. You don't have to go, you know, really, really. Like, in order to ensure that you really understand this. But here, this is an area that you have to ensure that you don't even get close to it. That you're far away to begin with. Normally, the halacha doesn't say, distance yourself from non-kosher very, very much. It says, don't eat non-kosher. But this area, like we started off with the Chofetz Chaim's diuk, is the nature of man is to be very tempted by it and to be led astray. And therefore, me'od, me'od in this area, you have to ensure. The idea of putting a filter, the idea of not sleeping alone in a room where it could lead a person, for a person who knows that could lead him to act inappropriately, to make sure you sleep in a room with someone else, if that will help you, not to touch oneself or look at oneself in those areas, not to allow thoughts to develop. Those are all ensuring that you don't get to the place to begin with. And by winning the battle at this stage, you retain a purity sense of oneself and not have to get to the stage where it's a conflict or a battle. If, chas v'shalom, this didn't hold strong, the next couple of weeks we're going to learn strategies of how to hold strong even at the time of the battle. But this should be the primary effort. All the money, like right now, Israel's putting all the money into the vaccination. Because when you have the vaccination, you've prevented the problem from spreading. It's much, much easier than the problem getting out of control, and then you're in the battle and trying to figure out how to stop the battle from going. Once you have got control ahead of time, you remain in that pure state. So the primary goal, avoid the battle. Al tivienu lidei nisayon.